then we're holding on to our faith until Jesus comes in.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God for sending us to have everybody out. Thank the Lord. I want to encourage everybody this morning. The scripture in Ephesians, I think it is, says the same thing will do exceedingly abundantly above all we are able to ask or think. And I don't know what everybody's individual problem is this morning, but I know one problem that we all have, that's that we're mortal.
Yeah.
And I know one thing that we all need, if we don't need anything else, we need salvation and we need eternal life.
Yes, true.
So today I thank God for his goodness and I thank him for his mercy. And I'm going to ask us to start off this morning with, I want to look in Ephesians. No, I think it's Philippians. Can't follow my own then too. Oh yeah. Ephesians 3 and 20 is one of them. I just want two scriptures. Ephesians 3 and 20 is one of them. And the other one's going to be Isaiah. And Isaiah 55. In Ephesians 3 and 20, this morning, we had a nice Christian education. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I enjoyed the presence of the Lord. And I thank God for all the saints being out this morning. It's good to see everybody who's on Zoom. And it might be that one of you this morning on Zoom or in other places, you're really waiting on God like we are in promise and like so many of us are to really work some things out for you. And you really need God to move. And the only thing... there's never a time when we're in the earth until we're changed from mold to a mold. Someone will say, well, I don't need something from God all the time. I do. At the very least, I need him to keep me breathing, keep my heart beating. But there's always a need in the earth. And one of the things that Jesus had to say to them, even when he was talking to them in Matthew, the 5th chapter, and what we call the Beatitudes, he was saying to them, there is a need that you have for God. Some of you are poor in spirit, you need the Lord. And you're going to be blessed because God is going to bless you. Some of you are, you know, when he says, blessed are the meek, he meant blessed are the people who are humble and those people who are being passed over and looked over. And, you know, you have no voice in anything, no say. And you ever feel like you have no say in your life? We look at this country, everybody talks about this great country of ours. Okay, I'll grant you that to some degree because it certainly is better than a lot of places. But you don't have as much say in it as you like. Especially if you're a person of color, the injustice and all things are not equal. And he goes on to talk about those who mourn, those who are going through and having difficult times. And he's letting them know that there's a blessing in God for you, no matter what. But we all have a need one way or the other for some things. And today, you might have had needs and you might have had plans. Things haven't always gone as I had planned. And by now, I had planned on, you know, in my thoughts, I thought that this church would have at least 300 or 400 people in it, but it doesn't. Well, that's not true. I never expected that many, but maybe 100. But it doesn't. But it's along with the plans of God. And maybe you have plans in your mind of things that you're working out. You're going to be this by now. You're going to be that by now. And this happened, and that happened, and this went one way. But you're still holding on. You're still holding out hope. I want you to know this morning, and I was teaching it, so I have two scriptures. This first one is Ephesians 3 and 20. And he says, now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that groweth in us, is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. And that's the point I want us to get to today. And stop getting somewhere and just saying, well, this is just what God has me, this is where I am. Well, no, it's where you have you.
Yeah.
It's not where, it's, you know, God has you. But many times, it's not where you're not where God would have you to be. It's where you have you.
Yes.
And he's doing as much for you as you will allow him to do. Yes. Because there's You know, God has his rights. God is right and God is holy. And God has his qualifications and different, you know, there's a part where God, there's a part, especially in new believers, people say, well, you don't reward bad behavior. God doesn't reward bad behavior, but he does reward good behavior.
Yes, he does.
And based on, you know, what he's able to do with you and get you to qualify, some people God can't give too much too early because it won't work.
Yeah.
And then there's some people, the only way he can keep them coming is that they have to always have a need. You don't want to be that either. But the point of it is what are you going through today? It doesn't matter what it is. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that. I ask, you know, I'm just saying, I'd like the Lord to give promise $250,000. Really, we need more like about $500,000. Mm-hmm. And God is able, and sometimes I say, well, you're just getting greedy. Your number just keeps increasing. And then I think about God. See, God has the wealth of the world.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, really, we are asking God for, you know, Brother Demetrius is trying to get his job off, get his work going. My goodness gracious, God can touch your work. You'll be like Joseph in Genesis. You'll be like Joseph. You're planning on just working a job because you want ends to meet and you want to be able to do this and do this. When you dedicate yourself to God and ask God to move for you, God will give you a job that you'll say, well, I never really thought I was going to be this. I never really thought I was going to be all this.
Yes.
You'll be like Joseph. Joseph, you know, he became the second highest person in all of Egypt. And he says, well, you know, when it started off, the devil meant it for bad, but God turned it into good. And, you know, I never really thought I was going to be all this.
Yes.
Same thing as Shonda's draw. First supervisors moving to places. First they're cutting my mind. Well, maybe you'll be the next one.
Yes.
You need to look, you know, because God is able to exceed above all ways. That's what I'm thinking. If you're sitting somewhere today and your plans aren't working out.
Uh-huh.
Then you need to do like Proverbs. You need to commit your way to the Lord.
Yes.
And say, well, I've already done it. Recommit.
Yeah, do it again. That's
you know, right. And your plans will work out. Set your affections on it. Recommit. Make a new commitment. Say, God, I'm going to back up and give us another run to start. And I'm going to see if you won't work it out. And this time, you know, I have swept it out. I've cleaned it out. Yes. I've washed it out. I've purged it with the blood. I've made a commitment. This time, I'm going to hold on to it. Lord, when you start working me, I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to pay my tithes, pay my offers, and I'm going to do even greater than that. I'm going to give you me.
Yes.
It's not just my tithes and my offering I'm going to lay on the offering because, you know, sinners know how to pay tithes.
Yes.
Big mafia people give lots of money to the Catholic Church. They're trying to buy their way into heaven.
Yes.
It doesn't work like that. People know how to give their money. Matter of fact, that can be a fallacy, too. Just like that some people sit in church won't pay tithes. You have some people who don't even come to church. They try to buy their way in by mail.
Yeah.
Well, Bishop, would you take money from somebody who's trying to buy him? I'm not sure would. And just say, thank you, Jesus. And every time I saw him, I tell him, now, you need to be saved now.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I would. Yeah. Then, you know, we have all these plans and things we're going to do. I'm going to do this. We're like the man in the Bible who said, tonight I'm going to pull down all my barns and I'm going to build new barns.
Yes.
Because I'm so blessed. I need to have room for it. This is what I'm going to do. And then Peter writes in a place. He says, don't say tomorrow I'm going to go and buy and sell as James. Say, but if the Lord wills, I will go and buy and conduct business. If the Lord wills, I will do this and I will do that. If it is in the will of God, standing in line with God, then this will happen. But many times we have plans and things that we're going to do, where we're going to go. And everybody in here should have some plans. Some have missions, some go. Me and Elder Smith don't have a whole lot, probably Elder Reed, because we've already retired, done a whole lot. We're just going on in God.
Yes.
But for everybody else who has jobs to do and different things to do, you have plans and you got things. Don't try it without God. And if you bring the Lord in, He's able to do exceedingly abundantly. This is the word of God. It's true. Everybody say it's true.
It's true.
He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think.
Yes.
It's beyond your wildest imagination.
Yes.
No one ever thought the Red Sea was going to part.
No.
Nobody thought the walls of Jericho were just going to fall.
Yes.
Nobody thought he was going to dry up the Jordan. Nobody thought a rock would bring down the light. Nobody thought that someone dying on the cross of Calvary being resurrected would be able to set me free from sin.
That's right.
Yeah. The devil didn't know that was going to happen. No one thought that by the blood of Jesus Christ I could be absolved of all the sins and evil deeds I've done. People didn't think. Nobody thought that. The angels look on.
Yeah.
Reading it now. And the angels are watching God to see how he's going to reestablish how he's going to clean up the universe, because when Satan fell, remember, a third of all angels fell with him, made a mess of a lot of things. Think in your mind that if God had a billion angels, then 333,383,333 of them fell at one time. A third of heaven was rocked. And God, through us, is working back and saving us. And the angels are watching to see how he's going to fix it. Because God is working out. You need to be part of the solution and stop being a part of God's problem.
Yes, yes, yes.
Stop being a problem for God.
Yes.
He's done too much and said too much. Stop telling God what you will do and won't do. Because what God wants you to do is right. And the way of the Lord is right. Go to Isaiah 55. And it says in Isaiah 55, not like this. He says, so my thoughts are not your thoughts. And the way you think things should go. There's nothing worse than, the Bible says, that stubbornness is as iniquity. Obstinate people that you just can't seem to say to them, hey, this way is right. And they, and every situation, the only way you change is when you fall and bump your head. No one can say to you, the bridge is out. You got to drive off into the river, and then you figure out. Then you want to come back and say, I thank God I didn't drown. But you should have never drove off.
Right.
We thank God you didn't drown too. But you ought not even be wet. Because God told you before you went down there, that was not the way to go. And we give glory to God when he brings us out. We give glory to God when he tells us the right way. But I got news for you. The prayer of repentance that you pray to God is not a sweet savor. It's a sweet savor when you pray a prayer of thanks. And when you pray a prayer of obedience, then that's a sweet savor before God. Because you're doing what God wants you to do. But when you have to come back and you ought to do it, don't miss a chance. But when you have to repent to God because God told you not to and you did it anyway, that doesn't go up as a sweet savor. That's what you owe God. And the Lord wants you to be right to start with. So with God, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. I got this all figured out. This is what I need to do. Let me tell you something. If the devil finds out you're somebody, God needs some busy people. He needs faithful people. I told you, we need singers. We need praise and worship people. We need musicians. We need ushers to stand on the door. We need youth. We need to start training youth and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of God. We need young people in here. The church, you know why? Because God needs them.
Yes.
It's not just for the sake of promise of issues. God needs them, and God wants to deliver them. God has something for them. My God. You say, well, won't you come to promise? Say, why should I come to promise? Because they're giving away door prizes. So what's the door prize? Salvation. Come in the door and get salvation. Everybody's a winner. You don't have to have, you know, it's not just a grand prize. It's the big prize. It's the only prize. And everybody can have it. Just come through the door and God will give it to you. All you got to do is just say, I came to get my prize. And I came to get what you were giving me. And here I am. Give it to me and God will give you the Holy Ghost. Tell God, so what will it cost me? It'll cost you giving up your sins. It'll cost you giving up yourself. It'll cost you giving up unrighteousness. It'll cost you giving up evil. It'll cost you giving up dirt. It'll cost you giving up all the ways that are destroying you. It'll cost you letting everything go. It'll cost you giving up your future plans in hell. It'll cost you all that. That's what you give up to get God. And of all those things that are cost you, is any of them worth keeping? Name one. Matter of fact, God has to work long and hard to deliver you from. And he writes in Isaiah, when he writes in this, Isaiah was a prophet. He says, God tells Isaiah, he says, tell the people that no matter what they think, I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above all they're able to ask for. I planned on doing this and that, and the other, but I keep getting delayed. Well, go to God. Despite what people say, you know, people say, well, you know, God can't, Jesus can't come back yet. He's being held up. God is not being held up. God knows exactly the moment and the second and the hour. He had to say, well, how long is he known? He knew it from the beginning of the world when Jesus Christ was going to come back. Was that Jesus ain't always been coming back? No, he's always been going through that plan. This is God's plan of salvation. You're not holding Jesus up. It's just a matter of when Jesus comes back, will you go back with him?
Yes.
Do you really think how arrogant are people in earth thinking you could ever forestall the plan of God?
All right.
It's just an issue of you being a part of it or not.
Right.
That's it.
Yes.
My thoughts, he says, the reason why I can do more than you can think of, because my thoughts are far above your thoughts. They're not your little minor thoughts, because you haven't figured out yet how to walk on water, but I know how to do it. And you haven't figured out how to be in the fire without being burned, but I know how to do it. And you don't know how to lift up from the earth and be raised into a cloud and given to heaven, but I know how to do it. And you haven't figured out how to raise anybody from the dead, but I know how to do it. And you don't know how to part a Red Sea, but I can do it. You don't know how to heal the sick, but I can do it. You don't know how to cast out devils, but I can do it. You don't know how to keep the earth rotating on its axis, but I know how.
Yes.
You don't know how to cause the earth to revolve around the sun, but I know how. You don't even know how to keep your own heart beating, but I know how. My thoughts and my way, my mind is far above your way. And when I look into a situation and you don't see a way out, and I just see thousands of them.
Yeah.
You can do this, and 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 they're all in my plan, and all in my will. And they all start with you following me. Follow me, I'll lead you out. Follow me, I'll deliver you. It's like with Israel. When they were in the wilderness, they were led by a cloud. It was the presence of God. And when the cloud would stop, and God would give them rest, and they were supposed to worship God. And when the cloud raised up, when God moved, they moved. And he led them through the wilderness, and it took a while there for 40 years it was gone, because they wouldn't obey God. The whole journey should have taken 18 months. Why are you where you are after 3 months? Because if you'd have followed God, you'd have been so much down the road. Well, who are you talking about, Bishop Smith? I'm talking to Bishop Smith. If you had obeyed God, you'd have been so much further down the road. But you held on to what you thought was a security blanket when you should have let it go. And it didn't send you to hell, but it sure did hold you up. Should have let it go a long time ago, but now I know. Going on in God. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You got to know when to circle back and say, okay, God. You got to do like Abraham when he left the Pharaoh, came back to Bethel. You got to do like Jacob, came back to Bethel. You got to do like all of them when they found themselves, when they came to themselves, when they like the prodigal son, when he came to himself, he came back to where he was to get a running start in God. Sometimes you need to come back to where you need to be and get another running start. And so far, and then pride kicks in. And you know you need to do something differently, but you don't want the people to see you do something differently. But don't worry about the people. It's like God told Ezekiel, don't worry about the people. Like he told Paul, he said, I'm going to deliver you from the Pharisees and the people so that they won't have an impact on your ministry. What you need to do is obey God. Don't worry about the people. Say, well, I thought you were going to never do that. But God said it's what I need to do. I need to start again. And this time I need his thoughts, because his thoughts are far above my thoughts. I know I knew what I was doing, but I need to ask God, Lord, what do you think about my plan? And my ways are not your ways. I've got a way that you don't know of. I've got a way that you haven't heard of. I've got a way of bringing you that you haven't considered. I've got a way through your Red Sea. I've got a way for Elijah. I've got a way for Elisha. I've got a way for Jordan, for Joshua across the Jordan. I've got a way. I got a way for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I got a way for them.
Yes.
I got a way for you.
Yes, thank you.
My ways are far above your ways. You weren't planning on going this way. I know you were planning on going another way, but that way would not have got you where I need you to go.
Yes.
And say, well, I didn't know there was a door there. Yes, I know. I know doors that you don't know, and I'll open doors that no man can close. You see, your doors keep slamming in your place.
Yes.
But I can open a door that no one can close. And all these demons and things that keep following you every time you look up, here they come. I can close that door and nobody can ever open it. And you'll have an open door to me, and I'll close the door on the devil, and you'll be on your way.
Yes.
High as the heavens are higher than earth. My way is so superior to yours.
Yes, it is.
And the way I know. I was watching this morning, you know, talking about this one friend. Francis came, Sister Sturgis came right over right after that and just said, well, you know what? I know. And she says, you know, that's the Lord. Didn't even know you dealt with that.
Yes.
He says, you know what? Because the Lord gives, the Lord opens doors.
Yes.
And the Lord makes a way.
Yes.
And you want to be used by God.
Yes. Yes.
My Lord, you ought to, you know, whose servant you are, whom you obey. You know, you want to be used by God. I like the song Thompson Community Choir 40 years ago. I'm available to you.
Yes.
My hands, my head, my heart, I'm available. Somebody needs to tell God, I'm available to you. Stop telling God I don't have time. I'm available to you.
Yes, I'm available. Yes.
The way of the Lord is right.
Right.
God makes up his mind about this last scripture for today. And my thoughts, and so are my ways higher than your ways, higher than the heaven, and my thoughts higher than your heaven. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please, and shall prosper in the thing I sent it. I want to spend a moment on that, and then I am done. I hear so many people talk about my word shall not, the Lord's word shall not return to him void. It has to be the word of God by the Spirit of God. Just me saying it doesn't count.
Yes.
It has to be said by the Spirit. And then what you need to know is when God's word goes forth, when he talks about this, two things happen when it snows. When a whole lot of snow comes, if the sun comes out too quick, it won't soak into the ground. It'll run off and create a flood. It takes God's time so that the snow melts gently, so that it goes into the ground. And that's what causes the dry grass to grow. I know some about grass growing in water because when we water our lawns, we can overwater them and a fungus will come. We have to water them every few days so that the water seeps into the ground and it makes the roots go down to get the water. So that our lawns get good root and so that they turn green and stay green. And God is saying, when the snow comes, he says it has to gently soak into the ground. This is why you just can't get one snow in the year and cause everything to grow. You have to keep coming. And he says, and then when it sinks into the ground, it brings forth the herbs and it causes things to grow and it accomplishes what I want to grow. That's like the word of God. When the word of God comes, everybody wants to come and get a word. And run out with it.
Yeah.
You want to hear about a healing service, then send out a big poster. So-and-so is here. You want to go over that and get a word and run out. And then you want to go over here and get a word and send this out. No, what you need to do is you need to come Sunday after Sunday, Tuesday after Tuesday, Friday after Friday. And then when you come, the responsibility is on me or whoever is teaching. If you take your time to come, I need to take my time to be before God so I can give you a word that won't come back void. You need to have something that God gives when people take their time to come to the house of God. You don't have to come to the house of God for joy. I can go watch the Tampa Bay Rays play and get joy.
Yeah.
Assuming they win. But I need joy unspeakable, joy everlasting. I don't need to feel good for a moment. And I enjoy the choir, although I want a good choir. I enjoy the preacher, but as soon as I walk through that door, doom and gloom returns. I want so much life when I come into service that when I walk out, I'm like Moses coming down from the mountain. When I leave Sunday morning service, I need to leave here glowing. I need the light of God to shine on me so that I have enough to carry through the week. So that I'm walking around humming in my job. And people say, what happened? You say, I found this weekend the Lord touched me. God moved on my behalf. I know where I'm going. I said, where are you going? I'm going wherever God goes. I know his direction I'm going. So what direction? I'm going in the direction that God goes. I'm moving with the Lord. I made up my mind. I will do what the Lord says. I'm looking for the Lord to move. Because his thoughts are far above my thoughts. That means the little ways that I create, God got better ones. His ways are far better than my ways. Everybody stand. In the presence of the Lord. of rest. You should want his presence. Oh, Lord, there's peace. That means when your mind is just racing, you don't know what you're going to do or where you're going to go. Every other goal that you take is a frustration and it's a disappointment. You're just tired of dead ends and brick walls and nothing seems to work out. As soon as you get happy because here comes the answer and the wind blows on that and it goes out the door. And you get more frustrated because your hopes were high. And now you don't know what you're doing. And it always bounces around and gets back to the Satan's last word. Why don't you give up on God?
Yeah.
And what's the use of God? You thought this was going to work out. You thought that was going to work out. And you did. But your thoughts weren't God's thoughts.
Yeah.
And your way was not God's way. Because God's word always accomplishes what it sent out to do.
Yes.
God's way always works. So it doesn't always work for me. There it is. That's the key. Me. Who stops God's way from working? I do.
Yes.
Who stops God from accomplishing what God wants to do?
I do.
Yeah.
I'm the only hindrance. In Jesus' name. Father, we come before the name of Jesus today, O God. Lord, give us a mind to set our affections on things above. Lord, commit our way unto you, Lord, that you should bring those things to pass, O God. Commit our thoughts unto you, Lord, that commit our way unto you, that our thoughts would be established and our plans would work. Lord, we have had so many unsuccessful plans that looked so good for the moment, felt good at the moment, seemed good at the moment, but Lord, they weren't lasting. Lord, now we ask you, Lord, to bring us into your way, work your will in us. Lord, that our will be in accordance to your will. And the way we go, Lord, would be the way that you send forth. Lord, your way is right. Lord, in you there's only victory. There is no failure in you, O God. Today, Lord, we ask you, Lord, by the power of God, by the miracle working power of God, Lord, wash us and cleanse us, Lord, that make us able to follow you. Lord, cleanse us. Lift us up that we can stand in your presence when we pray and when we worship, O God, that we can be brought before you. Lord, burn away all flesh. All the things that are not like you, Lord, that we should be able to stand in thy presence and follow you, O God. Lord, we commit ourselves unto you. Lord, we present our bodies a liquid living sacrifice. Lord, we lay our all upon the altar. And we ask you, Lord, lead us and guide us, Lord, through the precious Holy Spirit. Lord, wash us and cleanse us. Lord, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we denounce all thoughts and we forego all thoughts. Plans that we had, Lord, that have not worked. We ask you now, Lord, what is your plan? What is your vision for us? But Lord, we're not worried. Lord, the plan that you have for us, the expectations that you have for us are great. Lord, not only in eternity, but even now. Lord, your plans work now. Lord, your plans are great now. Lord, you've never planned anything that was unsuccessful. Lord, you never brought anybody in a way, Lord, that was not right. Lord, we glorify you. Lord, in you is light and no darkness at all. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. Lord, we commit unto you our spirit, Lord, our body, our soul, our mind, our affection, our emotions. Lord, lead us, O God. Be in us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we turn towards you. Lord, we're tired of falling and failing. Lord, we're tired of coming up short. Oh, God, come in and help us. Lord, we need help, O Lord. Lord, come in and be established in our lives and in our hearts, Lord. Put your spirit deep within us, O God, and lead us and guide us. Lord, let your spirit be strong in us, O God. Lord, that we would obey. Lord, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Lord, when all is said and done, Lord, we'll never praise your name. Lord, this time we won't give up on you. Lord, this time we won't claim it with us. We will say like the prophets of old, for the Lord said, and the Lord has given, and the Lord has done, and the Lord has blessed, and the Lord has brought forth, and it is marvelous in our sight, in his sight. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God say amen. God bless everybody. I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you for showing up. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Pray, Lord, just bless you real good. You can be seated for a moment. We will be here on Tuesday night.